Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the PA Geek Podcast, episode number 79. Now, I'm joined today by another phys ed teacher who's doing excellent things in their classroom and more importantly, just open to sharing beyond their class to everyone around the globe, none other than Andy Hare. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mr. Robinson, what is going on?
Well, I mean, it's the end of the year for us, obviously, as we record this, but exciting times. And, you know, I'm really excited to have you on the show and hear about your journey with tech in the phys ed space. But for all the listeners that may not know about where you teach, where exactly are you based?
So currently my role is a physical education coach based in Geelong for the University of Canberra.
Excellent stuff. And I mean, previously you've been working in a whole wide variety of schools. In and around what part of Australia?
Yeah, so Geelong was my home. So I spent 20 years down there teaching physical education, and then this year just needed a gap year. So I went up to Werribee just to get it into myself, a very multicultural environment to expand the knowledge bank and expand the love of physical education.
Yeah, perfect. So does this love for you, did it map back to your childhood? Like, do you have those fond memories of yourself being involved in sport and phys ed and et cetera?
Yeah, you know, I wrote an article last year for ACHPA, and it was all around my love for physical education, where it started. And my earliest memory is of a insane PE teacher by the name of Dale Constable, and I lived down a place called Moriac, which is about 10 minutes from sort of Anglesey Torquay Way, right on the surf. And this guy Dale Constable would rock up in his combi van with his surfboards on the roof, bare feet out of the combi van, dusting the sand off his shoes, sand off his feet, and then stepping into his running shoes to inspire us to have fun and just that whole intake of physical activity. And it was then, you know, they were the really addictive moments, I think, of physical education. And I think subconsciously it was something that I was destined to always be involved in. But it's that flow on of inspiration that really encaptured me.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, we share many similar paths, having that person that, you know, inspired us. And I know you personally are really quite an advocate for physical literacy, but not just in traditional senses. I mean, you've done a lot of things over the years of kids being involved in physical activity in some less traditional activities, like the mud run activity that you set up. Yeah, do you want to explain what that was all about?
Yeah, so it was just a modified version of a Tough Mudder. We wanted really something to change the way we raised funds, but also got a whole community involved. And when I talk about a whole community, we're talking about all the teachers, all the students, all their parents, and all the clubs and community people, shop owners, everyone that you could think of that was based in Leopold, and ran this unreal event that we ran it for 2 years, and it was just ridiculous. Like the engagement level was out of this world, and it was nothing that I've ever been involved in before, and just, you know, you are wanting to be in it every single year because of the nature of it. We had 800 kids go around the course during the day, but we would have had easily 4,000 visitors to the school just to see what was happening and be a part of it. It was unreal.
Yeah, and that sort of stuff really does flow into lifelong sort of activity, like the showing that the community support's there, and you know, these are the things that will get students by when we have disappeared long, you know, into their lives. So I love it. I think it's a tremendous example.
Yeah.
So, you know, along this journey that you've had, it's very varied and you know, full of exciting projects. Somewhere along the line, tech has found a way for you, and you know, how did that begin?
Man, you know what? I was thinking about this the other day, and this you will you're probably too young to remember this, but I was at Lara Lake Primary School in 1999, and I had come from Sydenham Hillside, which was up in Melbourne. My last year of Sydenham Hillside, I had managed to buy a camera out of my budget. It was a It was Sony, and it was revolutionary. You know, guys, I hope you're sitting down as you're going to hear this, but this thing would have been probably 15 to 20 centimetres square, so 15 high, 15 wide. And in it, you actually inserted a 1.44 megabyte floppy disk that captured all your photos on it. And on that disk, I could capture 500 photos, you know, 1.44 megabytes. So, and that was it. That I remember was the time that I sort of got really energized into making a difference. And all of a sudden, you know, the young PE teacher was in the school taking all these photos and then putting them up around the school. And parents were going nuts because they were actually able to see what was happening in PE. And so it was advocating to a wider cause. And then I remember another, like I love my devices. They're like, they're just my toys. But it was about 3 years later, I came across, what it was is I was watching people at the state athletic championships using pen and paper all day long. And I was in charge that year of the children with disabilities. Now, for those that are unsure, when kids with disabilities go to athletics events, it's not first across the line. It's closest to your world record is the winner of the race. And so these officials had pen and paper, and these kids were going across the line, and these poor little kids had to wait for an hour before they knew where they placed. And it was that year that I decided, hey, you know what? I know a device that that will kind of do it. And it was a little PDA that I bought from a shop in Geelong. And on it, it had a function that I could put on Excel document, but then I could pre-program that Excel document to do the calculations. So the kids got instant feedback at the end of the race where they knew they had finished. And that then was probably the earliest moment where I knew that I could make a massive impact in a wider sense with IC.
Yeah, I love it. And I think you've struck it. What I've observed from you, some of the real core elements that still stay with you today. I mean, you mentioned with that just a simple camera taking photos, and it was all about advocating for what you were doing. And I'm sure you've got a parallel to what you're doing now in the classroom that's exactly the same thing, but the tech may have changed, but the actual goal of it is still the same. What would be the equivalent of that today that you're sort of using or doing in your classes?
Well, the big one, I guess, for my PE colleagues around the world is Periscope. Sure. And it's exactly the same thing. It's on my device. It is sending it out via the instant viewer. And people around the world can get a sense of the feel, because we can post on Twitter, we can post on Facebook, we can put anything we want in a blog. But until you actually feel the essence inside the room and the energy with the kids and the voice of the teacher and the feeling of anyone that comes across that, then you're not really getting a full grab of the impact of that that moment. And I reckon that's probably my equivalent. For parents-wise, it is still photos, because a lot of our parents are, you know, you say the word Periscope and they'll ask where the submarine is. But you know, in terms of our parents, it is really as well opening up the doors to transparency. And I talk about this one a lot, and it's really going, okay, well, if I'm really going to make sure these kids get a lifelong journey, then parents need access to my curriculum. They need access to all the videos, all the flip learning videos that I put together. They need instant access to photos that we can put up on our blogs. I'm toying with the idea next year of having a Instagram account with education, just to be able to do that same thing, like a private one. Mm-hmm. But anything that can really give parents almost an almost lifetime experience, because, you know, it is sad that the cost of living is so high these days, and this is the picture that I'm always having in my head. You know, if I've got one child that goes to a sporting carnival and their parents both have to work, yet they can sit at their work and have on their computer a live score going or a photo feed that they can be actively engaged and see their child once, then those parents are going to be happy because they're going to be able to have a communication with their child when they get back home. And that's the whole key to it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I just love that that's an underlying theme, regardless of the tech that's being used. And yeah. I think a lot of the time people get caught up in, oh, you know, if I adopt this, then next year something's going to change and I'll be using a different piece of tool. But that's true. But the underlying themes remain the same. And I think that's important that we grasp onto those, because that's really why we're using the tech. It's not about the tool itself, but what you're attempting to do. And I think you'd say the same about, the initial use of your PDA to make things more efficient and effective for you. Yeah. Then I'm sure you've got equivalents in today's day and age about things that you're doing now that are the same, trying to make things more efficient and effective. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you the most recent example was our attempt that we with Spikeball EDU. We got permission from Spikeball America to be able to trial for the very first time a schools tournament, and it hadn't happened anywhere in the world. It was something that they've done with adults over in America, but never school kids into school. And so what we ended up doing is, knowing that, you know, there was going to be a few eyes around the world, especially from the Spikeball headquarters over in the USA. So we simply created a Google Sheet and had the Wi-Fi down at Deakin University going all day long. So every time we added the scores in, Spikeball over in America was able to see live time who was winning. The ladder was changing around. People on Twitter were able to see it. People back at the schools were able to see it. And so it encompassed what we were looking for, and it was really to go, okay, well, these are our athletes for the day. These 200 kids that were at the tournament are our athletes for the day. But the 3,000 people that are watching on, theoretically, back at schools, workplaces, overseas, are the audience, and they're the spectators that are cheering in their offices and cheering in their classrooms, because their favourite teams have got up to the final. And what we weren't able to do, obviously, was stream it live, because we didn't have the permissions from all the kids to sign off from that with Privacy Act. But that's the next level again, is to bring in that. And I did that a few years ago, actually, at a basketball tournament. I had the live stream going, and then I had I turned the basketball score sheets into a Google Sheet. So the two basketball scorers were using the computer rather than pen and paper. And then we had the schools back in, because I think I had a school from Horsham and a school from Colac in the final. So they were able to watch it, but at the same time, they were able to see the score sheet, how it was unfolding up on the board. Mate, that was NBA style. That was awesome.
Amazing. And again, it's another solid foundational bedrock that you've, laid the tech around.
Yeah.
Being more efficient and effective. And I think there's obviously collaboration elements in there too. And these are the same things that, no matter what year it is, are things that we need to do, and tech can be part of that. So, like, the collaboration element for you is massive. And I know you've been involved in many projects here, overseas, and internet and the technology has been a big part of that. And more recently, the sort of Aussie Phys Ed group that you've, working with is doing some tremendous things. So you just want to share a little bit about who they are and what you sort of do.
Yeah, so the founding members of Aussie Phys Ed, it all happened just through a phone call, actually, with Aaron Gardner down in Geelong and Sean De Morton, who was up in Melbourne. And we knew the great things that that our buddies over in California were doing with the Voxer podcast, and I needed an essential element to be able to network teachers back here. And Twitter was okay, wasn't doing it for me. Facebook at that stage, I wasn't on Facebook, but even email, like, it's archaic. But we needed lifetime conversations to happen to really push the barriers down and really give people an opportunity to grow themselves through choice. And the choice is, do I listen, or do I, if I do listen, what do I do with that information that's been shared? And so what we ended up doing, we had a really cool drive with Aussie Phys Ed. We just grew it organically. We didn't get out there and go, hey, you guys, you should be on this, you should be on this. We're like, you know, this is a platform. If you like, if you guys want a conversation, join in. And it trickled away for a little while until I think late last year we spiked at about 130 members, and it got pretty big. And then May 2016, we ended up breaking the group up into different rooms. So we had the primary section, we had the secondary section, we had the IT, we had the podcast, we had the school sport, we had the main chat room, and then we also had you know, our writing section as well, where we try and put together some ebooks. And it really focused people then, because they were able to go in and go shopping for information or add information into the rooms where it was appropriate, rather than you get lost in, like on a good day, I'm serious here, but on a good day, there could be 200 to 300 Voxes. Mm-hmm. And for you to scroll back through that, I mean, I don't have the time in my life to be able to go back and listen to 2 or 3 hours of Voxes I've missed in one day. So that those rooms became really essential links to driving teachers. And what we've found is through that engagement in Voxer, through the engagement in recognizing that all of a sudden I've just put 30 colleagues in my office that I can rely on to network with, is tremendous. We've got members all over Australia in every state. We've got a couple that are overseas, and we've got a couple of links in just someone like Andy Vasily, who came down last year. We've got him in the group more so as an advisor. So he's able to add his pedagogical knowledge to add value to the program too. But the result of it, Jared, is insane. Like the work people have been able to do and the positions they've now been able to win as a result has built growth in careers. And that's probably, or I think for me, that's probably the proudest thing that's come out of it. It's nothing to do with what I've got, what I've started, what I've been able to achieve. It is going, I've just seen 5 teachers get leading teacher positions or coaching positions or, you know, instrumental roles in conference work and that, because they've been advocates and been able to share and just been able to drive themselves. So that's the, one of the proudest things I reckon that's come out of it for me.
Yeah, the real theme there is, regardless of the platform, Vox is a great platform for you know, communicating with others. But that growth mindset, and if you make the choice, and I'm just speaking to everyone who's listening, if you make the choice to be in charge of your growth, whether it's through Twitter or Voxer or any other means, then the flow-on impact can be quite profound. And social networks really sort of take those and take them to the next level. And we're seeing it with Voxer. So if you're unsure of what Voxer is, effectively it's like a walkie-talkie app, and you can speak with people in real time or asynchronously. And it's like a great, it's basically a virtual staff room, you might think of it. In that regard. And you can be in, you can be out. You don't have to listen to everything to get value. I often say treat it like a buffet and come back when, you know, when you need something. So where can people find out how to join those different places?
Okay, so with the Aussie Phys Ed Network one, we had a link up on a website, but what we've found is that through that link, we kind of had a policy that anyone can join as long as they've got an association with physical education. But what we found is that we actually had a few strays drift into the pack where we actually didn't know who they were and where they were from. So we're at the moment just saying, look, guys, if you want to be a part of it, just email either Sean, Aaron Gardner, or myself, if you email yourself, Jared, then you'd be able to pass that on. But that way we can sort of confirm who the person is before we allow them into the chat room. So it's more so really to protect the chat and also to allow it to stay driven around pedagogical approaches to education rather than someone being a salesman in there, for instance sake. We need conversations to happen that really, like you said, build mindset growth
Mm-hmm. Excellent stuff. So, I mean, aside from the Voxer space, where can people find out more about the work that you're doing?
Hey guys, if you you can get me at mrhairphys.weebly.com. I apologize, the website has stalled a bit this year. There's been a bit going on in my last 6 months, but next year there will be a lot of growth on there, and I'll be sharing a lot more with blog writing and my journey for that next year at least, and sort of the cultural change that we're going to be able to move here in Australia as we move through this physical education coach.
Excellent stuff. So all the links and various elements to resources, etc., will be in the show notes over at thepeergeek.com/79. And you can also get a word for word transcript so you can read it if you need to do so. Thanks again, Andy, and I look forward to speaking soon.
Always a pleasure, and I love talking to you, man.
Thanks, mate. See ya.
See ya. Bye.